I'm starting to look like Shirley MacLaine. I need a haircut. The VGRG Gaming Podcast, episode 574, recorded on May 26th, 2020.
Welcome to the 574th edition of the TV Gaming Podcast and 407th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and a gaming flashback.
Scott, can you just put your mouth closer to your mic? Just a little.
Yeah, is that better?
Much better.
Okay.
So, before we get into what have you been playing, because it's kind of obvious, but I was playing while TJ watched, and also, me and Scott have been playing the same game as well. I mean, I've been playing a bunch of games this past week. One of the games I've actually started with, which is 5 years old, is Viscera Cleanup Detail. I mean, I've known about the game for years, but I've never played it myself, so I said, you know what? I want to play that game, finally.
Is that the one where... There's a couple of them I think I've seen where they have.
As a matter of fact, when
murder happens, and you have to clean it.
Yeah. So, it's a game about in which, let me see. If you ever played Doom, you're the guy who comes in after everything's happened, and you have to clean up the entire place.
That sounds tremendously unfortunate.
Yeah, there was one that Game Grumps did where Santa Claus kills a bunch of the elves.
Yeah, so that's the other thing is that when I downloaded it, I found I had two additional versions of it. One was Santa Going Nuts, and mm-hmm. The other one is... Let's see. Santa's... and the other one is me specifically cleaning up after Shadow Warrior. For those who don't know, Shadow Warrior is a game. It was actually an original build game, and then they remade it. So I'm cleaning up after a ninja slice people to bits. So what happens is that it's not only just Doom and stuff like that. I mean, the one I'm doing right now, apparently the plants, sentient man-eating plants broke out. So not only is there blood and guts all over the place, but there's also green slime. And it's basically a combination of a physics-based game, and a regular work job game. And your job is to get rid of all the trash and gunk and organs. You get a nice little bucket, a big bucket, that you put all the limbs and organs in, and whatever refuse is in there, and you just put it in the incinerator. Then you have to take out your mop, and you have to start mopping up stuff. And you have to be careful, because the game is extremely accurate. If you walk through blood, you're going to leave blood steps. You have to clean those up, too.
Yeah, you have to be very smart about it, so it's almost a bit of a puzzle, I think. There's a logical way to clean up efficiently.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't really worry about... See, what I do is I pick up all the pieces and the bullet casings and all that stuff, and I get rid of that first before I start mopping everything.
Yeah.
The problem is that not only are you a janitor, but you're given really lousy equipment, because sometimes... you'll order a water bucket, and all that'll come out are a bunch of organs, and you have to clean it up all over again.
But
you've never seen this game, TJ?
No, I haven't.
Okay, don't watch it, because I know we're playing on Thursday then. By the way, what I did not know, which I did when I played the game, it actually does have a co-op mode. So you can have more than one person. And it also... here's the thing. It's sort of like a roguelike in that the layouts will change from game to game to game. So it won't always be the same place that you're cleaning up. There's also a time mode so that it's like you can enforce a time mode, see how much you can clean up within, say, an hour. That sort of stuff. But when you're not playing with a time mode, it's a pretty relaxing thing, you know. You just put on a podcast, listen to it while you're mopping up the guts. Oh, and that's the other thing. You also have to be careful because your mop will get bloody, and at some point you have to wash it out, or else it'll just be mopping blood everywhere. So yeah, it's a really fun workaday where I haven't done Santa's Rampage yet. I'll do that at another time. But yeah, it's a really fun work game. I mean, there's a lot of work games. It's not as physics-y as, say, Surgeon Simulator, you know, which the entire game is seeing how bad you can screw up how bad you're trying not to screw up the surgery. Like, you have to be careful when toting around a bucket because you can just spill and all the water will fall out and then you have to get a new bucket. That sort of thing, you know. Or you'll trip and all the guts will spill out and you have to, oh, God, I have to clean that up again. So, yeah. I've also been playing Old World, but I'm not going to discuss that because Scott says he's been playing it, so I'll leave it to him to discuss it. Obviously, I've been playing a lot of Maneater. And the game gets a lot easier when you upgrade your electric bite to the max, because not only does it do more damage, but it also stuns your prey and stuns everybody around it. So those crocodiles and barracudas didn't have a chance. I've gotten to 2.5 meter. I'm not yet an adult. I'm at level 9, which is still a teen, but ready to turn into an adult.
Yeah, it looked like you had a lot of – that the game, from what I've seen, you get a lot of abilities. You get to whip your tail to stun enemies. You can just jump and tackle humans even on the beach or on a dock.
You
can just jump
up
and
– bone armor.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Game, and it's very well done too, because I mean something like this I could see being very easily kind of not, you know, kind of half-assed in a way, you know, because if they just want gratuitous blood. But this actually went all out, like, yeah, let's really make a decent looking game and put in abilities and leveling up and a story and just like really kind of really do a good job at this. So it's really impressive, because like when you go underwater, it's really beautiful seeing all the underwater features. You know, they really went nicely detailed that.
There is a fifth generation game called Jaws Unleashed, which is basically this game except a lot gorier. In this, there's a lot more social satire. Like, I went to a part of the bay which is called the Mafia Cleanup Center. And basically when you go there, you see a bunch of corpses with cement shoes. And your job is to kill humans there. Now, I could have killed I could have eaten the dead people, but what I decided to do instead, well, I decided to attack the Mafia and give them a taste of some nice karma coming back to them. Hey, you know what? You left those dead bodies out there? No, I want some live, fresh bodies. Yum, nom, 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 nom. And the best part is when you're attacking people who are on land and you just flop on land and start eating them there.
Yeah, it's like they're so stunned that you could just jump all the way onto land and then just hop, you know, I guess hop back into the ocean after you've grabbed them. Yeah. Yeah, I was watching many a true nerd play it, and he was like, no witnesses, and he would kill every single person he could.
And also, the game is basically Grand Theft Auto. You know, you kill enough humans, the quote-unquote police come out, they're actually hunters, and you have to hide from them like you would the police in GTA. Another game that I played today, a little bit of, I got a few achievements, is Minecraft Dungeons.
Oh, yeah, that came out today. It's very cool.
Yeah. I finished the opening screen in the first level in the forest, and goddamn those skeletons. The game isn't too hard until you have 20 skeletons all firing arrows at you at once.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy when it's like bullet hell and you're being hit from all directions. And
one of them's a large skeleton.
Yeah. It's hard to know
what's
where
funny is the large skeleton looks like a stormtrooper.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw some of that, and it is very Diablo-esque, where you get different items and weapons, and the levels are new each time, or they're different. But it's fun, you know, and it's kind of it's more lighthearted, I guess, because you get the,
I mean, you know.
Yeah. But like Diablo is just darker than this.
Well,
so
quote unquote darker, and only that it's more realistic. What are those green things again that look like things that walk
creepers.
Through bicycles? What?
Creepers.
Yeah. If you're not careful, if they get too close to you, they explode.
Yes. Everybody that plays Minecraft knows this.
Yeah. So, and you don't level up your own character. You actually just level up your weaponry.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, it forces you to
pick
spend fire at first, but I'm pretty sure that it'll allow you to change it as you go along. But yeah, I'm waiting to see if I can play this co-op with somebody, and, you know, like all the Minecraft, you know, it's co-op across all platforms. So yeah. I've also been playing Super Mega Baseball 3 since it came out, and my opinions are mixed. It has the worst running AI, although I suspect it's bad on purpose. They expect you to run back on a line drive, but I'm too busy doing other stuff to pay attention to that. You know, I don't care about, you know, you can turn off the running ego. It's just not worth it. But yeah, I'm getting used to it. I have it really high on pitching for my ego because I'm really good at it, and the hitting is just below, but it's still tough enough that I don't win every game 20-3. I haven't gotten through my first season, though. We'll see what happens when the season is over. Because you can hire and fire people in the same year. But it's a very simple way. You know, you have a set amount of money, and that's it. You just have a cap. And the overflow that you have will be given to you on a daily basis, which you can use to spend on upgrading players, because they will get better or worse as the years go along. You know, obviously, the younger players tend to get better, the older players start declining. So.
Yeah, and they also some of them develop traits as they become stars or as they get older, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like sometimes you get a pitcher that might develop a trait in which they perform better if they have a full count going, like two strikes and three balls.
Yeah, sometimes it'll say sometimes there'll be loogies and roogies, you know, left one-handed only. They'll do much better against lefties. There'll be some hitters who are called RBI duds or RBI studs, or they strike out too much, or they have a good eye, and that sort of stuff, you know. I haven't seen it completely affect gameplay because one of the complaints I have is that, you know, if you swing at the right moment, you seldom ever swing and miss. It has to be really out of the zone for you to miss. So I'm always making contact. Even on a high level. The only problem is that, you know, even with power hitters, I could go hours and hours discussing what's wrong with the game. There is one thing that's inherently wrong with all baseball games. And that is, you tend to swing at the first pitch that is hittable. Even if you have a patient hitter, you tend to swing at the first pitch that's hittable. So you have very low pitch counts. It's always been my thing in which they should have start out like a 2-1 count or a 3, you know, something like that, so that you just, you know, you can have people who are impatient but still rack up pitch counts. Anyways, it's, like I said, there's too much to discuss there. So, Scott, tell us about Old World. And by the way,
okay.
for those who don't know, Old World is still in the early access, so it's not finished
yeah.
yet.
This is a development one, and I was able to play about 20 turns and was getting stability issues. But the amount that I did play was interesting. It's a 4X game, explore, exploit, expand, and I know Conquest is in there somewhere.
Exterminate.
Okay, thank you then. So anyways, but this what is unique about this is it has a dynasty mechanic where you pick a wife and you have four families. When you pick your leader, and this starts on Earth basically, And you pick one of the ancient civilizations, which are Assyria, Babylon, Carthage, Egypt, Greece, Persia, and Rome. And between the one, you know, you pick one of these, and each of them will give you four families that are backing you, I guess, or saying, yes, you're noble and you're the leader.
Part of their family, actually.
Yeah, and you pick one of, you pick your wife from one of them, and you, and each family has like specialties. Like there'll be the military family, the creative family, the science family, and so they'll give you bonuses to your cities, and that's your capital will be that, and then that's where you pick your wife from, or husband, because you can be a female leader too. So you, I picked Persia, I think, because I just wanted to see what that one was like. And so I found my first city, I picked my family, and then when I went to found another city, you get the option to keep picking the family you've just picked, or if you, and if you do that, you'll anger the other families. They'll have like negative, they'll be upset with you for like 20 years, or at least a generation. And I thought that was interesting. And
by the
then,
way, the other interesting thing is that you cannot pick where your cities go.
Right.
They have special spots which say you can build here.
Yeah, they have little city spots, and I guess they're unclaimed cities or villages. And you say, okay, now this area is mine. We have a city here. And and that's where you build your city if you get your settler there. And,
or you can just conquer another civilization
yeah,
and take their city.
And there's also – I don't want to call them city-states. They're called tribes in this game. And
yeah, like
they,
Visigoths and
– yeah, Visigoths, Gauls. There's a bunch of them.
There's also traditional barbarians, which are not cities, but you can take their land.
Right.
And here's the thing. The Visigoths, the city-states all have allegiances and all that stuff. Barbarians are the only ones you can attack without having to worry about it pissing anybody off.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that mechanic, too, of relationships between you and your wife, you and your kids, you and your councilmen. You build your council. You get random events, and you'll get like a hero or someone from another kingdom wants to come over and be a diplomat or an ambassador or, you know, part of your court, and you decide whether you want to or not. And I feel like there's a lot of role play
going
on.
Yeah, there's also you also have to tutor your son or daughter,
mm-hmm.
you know, and where you want to have, like, oh, I want her to be an ambassador or give her ambassador training, or
and you
I want her to be a philosopher and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really cool where you can start channeling what the next generation is going to be like ahead of time, and your kingdom gets lost. It's decree how the empire runs. You get various bonuses through them. You get titles as you gain experience, so whatever actions you took will reflect in these titles, so you might get enlightened or peaceful or cruel or bitter, and these will give you different effects in your kingdom. Technology is a tech tree, but you draw cards, and each time you learn a tech, you pick four new techs to start from.
And the other thing is that just because you can get a tech doesn't mean it'll be available for you when you the next
right.
time you have a breakthrough. You're not guaranteed that tech.
Exactly. So you might have to decide if you're willing to let that one go by.
The game
order.
Is kind of, I'm sorry.
There's orders. That's also another unique thing about this game, is you have these little orders, and each unit moves, and they can only move if you have orders to tell them to move, and you can tell them to move more than their typical movement, but they'll be fatigued afterwards. And if you don't use the orders, you can sell them at the end of your turn, at the end of the year, for money.
So the only problem is it's early access, so the gameplay
mm-hmm.
is kind of shallow compared with other games, like if you're thinking of Crusader Kings. And also, there's a ton of stuff which is not – there are tooltips, but you can get lost trying to figure out what's what, you know, what resources
yeah,
are what.
There's an encyclopedia, and you should read it back to front. Absolutely, because there were some symbols I didn't quite recognize or I wasn't sure what they were trying to tell me. The resources are accumulated a little bit differently than in your typical 4X that I've seen, you can stockpile like production and money and culture, and then certain events might come up that say, okay, you can spend 400 of this production to accomplish this task if you want to. And you know, it's very so different.
No, we'll lower people's morale. Yeah, the thing is that at least there are little, you know, pluses and minuses on the top bar, so you know if something's falling, you can look specifically to see what you're lacking.
Yeah.
But it is early access, so you have to – I'm pretty sure there will be a tutorial. There will be, you know, like in Civilization, you'll have this person pop up and say, do you want me to walk you through this, that sort of thing. And like I said, the base is there. Right now the family aspect is like I said, shallow, but you can see where it can branch out and different and add more and more events and more things like.
Yeah, I mean, I got a random event where my wife asked to she wanted to make a garden but needed some money, and you could say yes or no. And if you said yes, you get some bonuses, and if you say no, she's pissed at you for 20 years. And I'm like, okay, we'll just say yes.
Hold a grudge.
I mean, it's like, wow.
19 years later, well, I would do this, but you didn't let me have a garden.
Yeah. So it's like, why would I say no? So, of course, I hit yes. But it was interesting because you can actually turn off that aspect where you can't see the tooltip resulting from this, and it's called role-playing, and it's in their options, and you can toggle it if you just want to select this and you don't want to know what the results are going to be until you, I guess, play it. So that's one way to do it if you wanted to.
Yeah. It's in early access, so it'll be interesting to see how much – by the way, the game's being developed by Soren Johnson, who's known for doing Civilization, but he also did – oh, damn, I forgot the name of it. The name
Off-world.
Of the game. And I got Off-world. It really, really early access, even before – oh, yeah, Off-World Trading Company.
Yeah, so it there is, like I said, it's very familiar in a 4X sense. And I also like that the land is named. You'll see like a river, the Nile River, and it kind of the art style kind of reminds me of a fresco painting. Or just there's something very light about it. I like it, but again, it's probably going to change since this is early development, and they'll improve some things.
It's more Civ than it is Crusader Kings.
Yeah. It's definitely Civ. It feels very Civ to me.
Well, Civilization 3 and 4, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm not surprised either. But I think the relationship mechanics, the families, it makes it interesting and definitely different, and you know, worth a shot to try. And again, it's early access, so I'm sure they're working on updating it and improving it.
Anyways, TJ, what have you been playing?
So
yeah, by the way, you can now talk about Maneater. I think last week we said we would hold off discussion of it. So if you have anything to add about Maneater,
not much. We did a review of it, and we did a video of it on Shack News. Everyone, like we've been in contact with Tripwire a lot through that game's development, and it's been a peach every step of the way. Like the sheer amount of depth and effort they put into making a fun shark RPG is just phenomenal, and it's hilarious to think about every time it comes up. But as far as what I've been playing, so here's the thing: the pandemic has forced competition to pretty much go away or pivot to online competition or die. And the reason I bring that up is that it's especially affected the fighting game scenes.
Oh yeah. Didn't you suggest that there was only going to be what, 4 at Evo?
Yes. Evo is only going to have 4 games, which are Mortal Kombat, Them's Fighting Herds, Killer Instinct, and Skullgirls, which are all games with good net play, thankfully. but they're only the entire original lineup is relegated to exhibition matches, for what I can see, and they got rid of Smash Bros. Ultimate altogether because Smash Bros. Ultimate Online is absolute trash. They are trying their darndest out there to keep that scene going, and God bless them because it is a tough one.
See, here's the problem, and it stems from the fact that Japan is a relatively tiny island in comparison with, say, Russia or the United States or Europe. And when they do online games, it's usually with the idea that you're only going to have to do a certain amount of space, you know, it's like within a city almost, you know, or like within a state. They don't net code so that it's from the West Coast to East Coast of the United States or West Coast to Japan. You know, it's not they just don't code games to take that into account. It's always, you know, in a small space. That's why Street Pass is very popular in Japan, because you open up and there's like 1,000 people on the train that who also have their things opened up.
You know, my argument against that is that Splatoon 2, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and Tetris 99 exist, and they all have good working netcode. Like, I can play a game of Tetris 99 with someone in Japan, and there's no hitch in the action. And, like, the idea that, like, they can't, a multi-million dollar company...
Which population they're aiming at.
Yeah, like, the idea that they can't is absolute, like, malarkey to me. Like,
I didn't say they can't. I just say that it's
they. It's more like they won't. And it's a bummer because there's a huge Smash scene out there trying to keep that game alive. And gosh dang it, they're giving it their best and doing like VG Boot Camp and folks like that who do streams all the time. God bless their hearts. I wish Nintendo would help them out more. But that brings up the fact that I'm seeing more games doing online open tournaments. And lo and behold, I turn on my PS4 two days ago. Blaze Blue Crosstag Battle is doing an online open as hosted by the ESL. And there's a cash prize in there. And so I, like, coincidentally, a few days before that, I had started opening up Blaze Blue Crosstag Battle and messing with combos again just for fun. And now I'm going to be playing in the tournament next week. So
awesome.
We'll see how that goes. I'm definitely like – I haven't opened the game for a while because I'd been playing the heck out of Granblue Fantasy Versus. But I just felt like going back to my favorite characters and having a little bit of a fun time. And then this tournament came up. So I'm definitely putting some time into practice on BB Tag now.
Okay. So anyways – we're going to be doing an interesting gaming flashback. Last time we did a bad game, and this time we're going to do another bad game. So go ahead, TJ. Talk about one of the more infamous games from Acclaim.
BMX XXX. BMX XXX is a sports video game developed by Z-Axis and published by Acclaim Entertainment under their name, a.k.a. Acclaim label, for the Xbox, PlayStation 2, and GameCube. BMX XXX builds on the earlier work done by Z-Axis on Dave Mira Freestyle BMX, their previous BMX title featuring and endorsed by professional BMX rider Dave Mira. During development of the new game, publisher Acclaim Entertainment decided to style the game after a raunchy sex comedy movie. It's commonly believed that the origin of this decision came when Acclaim saw what was shaping up to be an extremely subpar game, and so in an effort to salvage the time and money invested in it, they decided to add the vulgar humor and naked women in an effort to muster up publicity and hopefully turn that into sales. When Mira found out about the content of the game, he refused to endorse the product and took legal action against publisher Acclaim in order to prevent any further implication of his involvement in the game. Dave Mira was successful in getting the courts to block Acclaim from using his name in association with the game, and the title was therefore shortened to its final name, BMX XXX. At the time, BMX XXX's release, sexual humor and nudity were not widely explored themes in mainstream video games. As a result, Acclaim's attempt to drum up publicity for the game was a rousing success, or arousing, depending on how you look at it. Although the publicity achieved was not positive, television news outlets reported that Walmart, Toys R Us, and most major IEMA retailers in the United States declined to carry the game in their stores due to the nudity. Then Sony Computer Entertainment of America refused to allow the game to be published for the PS2 until the nudity was censored. In the end, sales were abysmal. Under 160,000 copies were sold all across all three platforms. The game was not greeted with controversy in Europe, but it was not met with sales success either. In Australia, it was sold with the sexual content removed entirely. BMX XXX, along with several other poorly performing titles, contributed to Acclaim Entertainment filing for bankruptcy in 2004.
Yeah, Acclaim did a lot of things in the name of publicity. I think there was a lot of coke being shared in the marketing department. I mean, when you offer to reward someone if they name their newborn Turok, that's just... It wasn't even sexy nudity either. It was just...
It was blocky, like, of the time, pretty much like Tomb Raider, Lara Croft, square tits nudity.
Well, it wasn't that bad. It was just silly. Let's put it this way. There was nudity, but it wasn't exactly sexy.
Yeah.
If anything, it was downright hilarious. I think that might have been the point. But on the other hand, it played like ass, too, so.
Yeah, like, and they... they had stuff like NBA Jam going for them. They had Worms with Team 17. And then they did stuff like this, and it just basically shot themselves in the foot over. Oh, and then Turok Evolution. That was a disaster piece.
There was also an incident to promote one of their racing games, and that they would pay the fines of anybody who was caught speeding. And that was shot down extremely quick, because basically what they were doing was they were essentially penning people to speed, you know, to break the law and perhaps cause deaths, you know. So. Anyways, we're going to move on to the first game news. Metroid Prime Trilogy, listed with June 19th release date, and this comes to us from Nintendo Insider. Long rumored to be coming to the Nintendo Switch, the Metroid Prime Trilogy has been listed for release on portable game console next month. Swedish computer specialist retailer iNet has updated their listing for Samus Aran's Galactic Adventures with a release title on the 19th of June. It seems far too soon to be true, but this comes after Paper Mario the Origami King was revealed 2 months before release, and rumors that any plans for a Nintendo Direct in the short term have been put on hold. If it turns out to be true, it'll present players with a chance to relive Metroid Prime, Metroid Prime 2, Echoes, and Metroid Prime 3, Corruption, or discover them for the first time in high definition on a portable home console. It'll also be a chance to catch up with the Bounty Hunter's Tale before whatever awaits us in Metroid Prime 4, which is now in development in Retro Studios, which is probably the entire reason to release the trilogy.
That seems like a smart move. I think a lot of these leaks seem to... I think they're more PR or... Yeah, PR, where they want to...
They can be. But then again, you know, they never really deliberately release leaks. The only thing that people will do is do what Microsoft does and say, we do not comment on rumor and speculation.
Okay. Nintendo is the type that will actually hammer the shit out of people that leak their stuff, though. Legal departments and all. I don't know, because, like, there's been a lot of speculation as to what was coming since they pretty much said they're not going to be doing anything for E3 plans in June. They've put the kibosh on most rumors about, like, any sort of direct coming on that in this month, and it's kind of weird that they would leave. There was the rumor that they were going to be doing something big for Mario's 35th anniversary this year.
Watch, he appears and he's an optional playable character in Metroid Prime instead of Samus.
Just going to straight up give him the fire flower. Every shot you take bounces off the ground.
The way he kills enemies, he just bounces on them.
Mm-hmm. But, that said, I would be cool with this if it was true. I think the world can always do for some more Metroid.
Yeah, I would like. Yeah, this would be a good port to the Switch. Definitely can use the Joy-Cons for this, and it was a fun game, and I think it definitely deserves to be kept on being available to be played.
Has it been released yet? No, it's Paper Mario is being released on July 17th.
Yes. I hope that one is good.
Yeah, I hope so too. It seems like they have a unique or different battle mechanic. You're like on this circular field, and you have these turnstiles, and you, I guess, have to do different combinations for attacks. I mean, it seems interesting.
They always do a pretty good job of nailing down the story and charm. They just need to get them, like, make fun mechanics.
Yeah.
Like, Sticker Star wasn't all that fun of a gimmick.
It also had some very the game had some very unfortunate implications. Were you getting all this cardboard to make? Oh my god! You monster!
All I know is that I'm ready. I want Peach to crease me. What a great way to start out a trailer from the happy and family friendly Nintendo.
Yeah.
You know, the Paper Mario games and our Mario RPGs have always been self-referential. They've always done that
yes.
kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They did seem to also add I guess it's being called arms now, where Mario can stretch out his arms to grab things. So they're like folded, like an accordion shooting out.
Is that their way of promoting that game that they launched with the Switch? You remember?
I guess.
The
I don't know.
Stretchy arm game? I forgot the name of it.
It's arms. Literally called arms.
Yeah. That's why I said arms. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Nintendo would love to make more money on arms. That it didn't really seem that interesting to me, but some people really love it. So I don't know.
Game. It's like the bowling game for the Wii, you know.
I liked that game, but
I'm just saying it's very grandmas can do it.
Yeah.
You know, so
fun fact, Nintendo has announced two different tournaments, one for Smash Bros. Ultimate and one for Splatoon 2. And in both tournaments, one of the prizes is a digital copy of ARMS.
Is that a reward or a punishment?
Oh, my gosh.
I suppose it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to the next item. Go ahead, DJ.
Platinum insists Bayonetta 3 hasn't been canceled from Eurogamer. Despite the radio silence, since Nintendo Switch exclusive third installment of the Bewitching franchise was revealed in 2017, developer Platinum Games insists the game is still in development. I'm on Twitter, so I see a lot of comments every day. I'm happy there's still anticipation for the title, but one thing I would like to address is the trend I'm seeing, which is people who are starting to ask if the game has been canceled. I want you guys to take any concerns you have like that and throw them out the window immediately, because we're still hard at work on it. And it hasn't been canceled by any means. Please look forward to it. Who was this said by? Was this Hideki?
Yeah. Hideki Kamiya. Here's the thing. Bayonetta 2 sold like ass on the Wii U. It didn't even break 200,000 copies. It was really... I'm not surprised it's taking them along, because I don't think they have any support from any publishers. I mean, Nintendo probably said, this didn't sell anything for us, and we even put the bitch in Super Smash Brothers.
They have several things in the works now. They just released Wonderful 101 Remastered on the Nintendo Switch. Hideki Kamiya is working on a new IP. It's like some sort of Sentai giant monster type game. And then they have like four other things they're working on. So like, who knows when Bayonetta 3 is coming, because it wasn't in any of the five announcements that Platinum, for those who don't know, Platinum Games came out and said, with the support of Tencent, and said that they are going to work on self-publishing and developing.
I can imagine why, because that deal with Nintendo to own Bayonetta license did not work for them. At some point, I hope it ends up on Steam at the very least.
Yeah.
Bayonetta 2, I mean. Bayonetta, the original Bayonetta is on Steam.
Yeah, they did a... there was a thing...
Yeah.
Did that come out? It was the 10th anniversary, and they launched.
It came out with Vanquish. Vanquish. Vanquish, I played. I was kind of eh about, but Bayonetta, I love and adore.
But yeah, Platinum Games has like a ton of irons in the works, and I look forward to seeing everything they do. But I don't feel like we're going to see Bayonetta for a little while. I feel like we're about maybe 2 years out from Bayonetta 3.
By that time, the Switch 2 will be announced. Maybe that's why they're saying nothing about it.
Yeah,
maybe they're making it for the next generation of Switch.
I know for a fact that they're doing. They opened another Platinum Games studio specifically for the cause of making a game as a service game, like Destiny or something. Who knows what that's going to look like?
Well, if they're going to do that, they might as well use the Vanquish license for that.
That would be interesting. Who knows? It would also be interesting if they took something like Nier Automata and turned it into like an MMO game.
Or just threw it in the garbage.
Aw, that's rude.
I do not like Nier Automata. I mean, I liked Nier a lot more. The original Nier. I never played Drakengard, though.
Did you see that they're doing a remaster of the original Nier?
Yeah, I did. And I'll be interested to rent it out. Oh, that reminds me. I got my disc for Resident Evil 3 for the Xbox One. So I'll be able to give my impression on that. There's a lot of people who are not very happy with Resident Evil 3, by the way.
Yeah, the biggest complaint is that it's short.
I don't mind short. I just, you know, as long as the gameplay... And you know what I would like is if they just patch in Unbreakable Knife in Resident Evil 2. Because I was enjoying that, except the knife kept breaking.
Oh, you're going to be happy then.
No, in Resident Evil 3, but... Yeah, I'm talking about Resident Evil 2. Actually, you know what? I bet if I got it on PC, I'll just go to Nexus Mods, and they probably have a mod to make the knife unbreakable.
No doubt.
Or just give me tons and tons of ammo. Next time I play, I'll keep in mind, you shouldn't be shooting every zombie in the head that you see. Just save your ammo, because there are beasts that require some shooting.
The biggest complaints I've seen about Resident Evil 3 is too short, and some people don't like how many set pieces there are. Which, to me, I mean, it's all killer, no filler.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I know you love the original Resident Evil 3, but the original Resident Evil 3 was too much of a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Yeah. This is decidedly not that.
Yeah, because they decided, you know, that choose-your-own-adventure thing sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Just let the player do what he wants to do. Hey, you wanna fight the monster or go into the police station? You can do both now. Yay.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question. Who do you like better, Mr. X or Nemesis?
Nemesis, by far.
Okay. I watched the Zero Punctuation for Resident Evil 2 Remastered, and it always makes me laugh when he says that Mr. X is like one of those anime fans who heard you sort of like one anime thing, and then he starts pursuing you, wanting your opinion on stuff like Sword Art Online. By the way, Sword Art Online 2 is coming, if I remember correctly. Oh, and Phantasy Star 2 for PC and multiple platforms opens up today or tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I think.
Yeah. One of the former hosts of the podcast, Jordan, is a huge fan of Phantasy Star Online 2.
Man, I was kind of surprised to see how many people were just, like, stoked out of their minds when that trailer landed on Xbox and E3, I think it was 2018?
Well, here's the thing. It was the first MMO that was on the Xbox 360, and it was also free. So that's why people are stoked, because it's their first console MMO if they've just done the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Pac-Man teams up with Minecraft to celebrate his 40th anniversary. This is from Pure Xbox. This week, Pac-Man celebrates his 40th anniversary. As a part of the celebrations, Bandai Namco has teamed up with the gang at Mojang to release a special-themed DLC in Minecraft, this new pack available now in marketplace for 134 mine coins.
Hold on. How does that translate to money?
I don't know, but you do buy money to get mine coins for the this would be for the Xbox or the Bedrock edition, which is also on Xbox, PlayStation 4 and Windows 10 version of Minecraft. So probably
I know a lot
of
people are still complaining about Java being left behind, but you know, Java has all the mods, so
Java has also a lot of free skins, free free worlds to play, and just a whole bunch of stuff anyways. So I guess but that's all maintained by people not employed to do it, and they're doing it in their spare time.
But you know, here's the thing. Microsoft's not Nintendo. If this was Nintendo, they would go and sick all the lawyers on them. They would just say, "Attack!"
That's sadly probably true. Yeah.
It goes at them and it says, "Thumbs up, dudes."
All of this stuff was made before Microsoft made that purchase, so
Microsoft could just easily put the ban hammer on all the old stuff. The fact that they're letting the people. You know how many people want to run their own MMO servers for MMOs that are gone, like City of Heroes?
Yeah.
But, but the MMO owner will say no, you know, even though they're not making money on it anymore. And here, Minecraft is making oodles of money, and Microsoft says, you know what, whatever, let them. It strengthens the brand. You know, they're just making the brand stronger.
So here's the official rundown. The legendary arcade classic Pac-Man comes to Minecraft. Waka waka your way through an amazing 3D maze madness, complete with friends for high scores on 10 challenging stages, or build your own in a maze editor. Some big points to unlock new power-ups like laser or TNT. Just make sure you watch out for the Inky, Binky, Blinky, Clyde, and Creepy. So I guess it'll be a green keeper-looking ghost. trailer accompanied this celebration. So this is, you're basically third person, just like you're playing Minecraft, and you're running around a maze. You get to pick up the pellets, and the little ghosties are coming after you. So that's a pretty cool concept, I think, a nice fusion.
If you look up at the sky, you'll see it. You'll see yourself as it would if you were watching an actual Pac-Man game, you know, a 2D Pac-Man game. So if you get lost, you just look up. And you can see where you are in the maze and what you and you know how it would look if you were actually playing Pac-Man. The maze editor, I forgot to mention, for Minecraft Dungeons, there's also, when you first play the game, it'll ask you if you want to go into the editor mode. So I haven't tried the Minecraft Dungeons editor yet.
I'm going to definitely look into that as well, especially with co-op. Yep. I think it is, right? Yeah, it is
you
co-op.
Can have co-op. It defaults to multiplayer, online co-op, but you can select solo too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. I mean, I remember covering the Pac-Man Championship Edition here in New York. What was it, 10 years ago now? I was there. I met with Larry Herb, and it was supposed to be a Pac-Man Championship, and then they said, "Guess what? You're not going to play Pac-Man. You're going to play Pac-Man Championship Edition." And for those who've ever played it, it's much different than regular Pac-Man. Like, there are no lives. It's just a time thing. Anyways, you haven't tried this yet, have you, Scott?
The dungeons, no. And the I haven't. I can't because I play Java, so it's not on Java. It's all right. I got other things to play. Like I said, I've been playing the old world game.
Play from the Java version, right?
I'm also trying to finish games I haven't completed yet, which is a long list. But I'm getting through some of them, like the third Trials game, so that way I can go on to Cold Steel because apparently there's four of those now. So yeah.
Yeah, this is cool. Like, I like the stuff that they've been doing for the Pac-Man 40th anniversary. Like, it's one of those things that I like to see stuff like Tetris and Pac-Man sort of get another shot in the spotlight. And this is a cool way to do it. Like, a lot of people play Minecraft, but like, there are a lot of people out there that maybe have no idea what Pac-Man is. And
God, that's sad.
It was well before their time, Jonah.
It's like they don't know who Donkey Kong is. They know who Mario is, but they don't know who Donkey Kong is.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers for, and I guess Pac-Man is in Super Smash Brothers, but
no, Pac-Man was in Capcom versus Street Fighter, I believe.
Was
yeah,
he?
He was in Pac-Man versus Capcom versus Street Fighter as a DLC.
Not sure. But he is in Smash Brothers. He is in Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yes. No, he's in Street Fighter X Tekken.
Oh wait, no. There is like a Capcom Namco crossover type thing. It's like a weird RPG game, but I can't remember if I haven't played it, but I do know that they have like a ton of Capcom and Namco characters in that. But yeah, this is cool. I like it, and I like the idea of people being able to play Pac-Man in new and interesting ways. And Minecraft is one of those things where, like, if you can put it together, if you have the reason and logic to do it, then it can be done. And so why yes. not? And so why not make a Pac-Man maze?
Mm-hmm. I've seen people make their own Castlevania maze, their own Mega Man maze. There's lots of things you can do with Minecraft. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm just going to wonder what people will be able to do with DLC back, because, you know, it not just make mazes, but incorporate stuff from the mazes into their own Minecraft thing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Ubelet's releasing an early access, quote-unquote, pretty soon. This comes to us from PC Gamer. Hypercute creature farming game Ubelet's will release on early access pretty soon, according to the new trailer. Ublitz has been in development by duo Rebecca Cordingly and Ben Wasser for a few years. I'll say, because the first time I saw Ublitz was a few years ago at E3. In 2019, the team announced that the PC version of Ublitz will release exclusively on the Epic Store. With funds from the deal, they were able to bring on a development help to go from a studio apartment to an actual game studio, they said. As of April, the studio was deep into bug-fixing mode and preparing for certification, so it's unsurprising that a release is imminent. The early access label seems to be a fairly new development, but it makes sense given that such a small team's testing capacity is likely limited. Ublitz looks pretty hardy from what's already been seen, dance battling, farming, crafting, fishing, and so on, so it doesn't seem like this will be a bare-bones launch despite the label. You can join the world of Ublitz while still being created, according to the Epic Game Store page. We'll be updating the game frequently and interacting with the community to help determine the direction of development. There's still no firm release date, but a June or July release seems like a reasonable guess. Ublitz has appeared on the PC Gaming Show in the past, and this year's will be taking place on June 6th. And, yeah, if you want to know what Ublitz is, it's a mix of Pokemon, Animal Crossing, and Harvest Moon.
Yeah, it looks like a cute, chill farming game. And you have these little critters that are dressed up in various costumes, so like you said, Pokemon there.
Yeah, a lot of the art sounds nice, by the way. Yeah. And, you know, I played it at E3, you know, a very early build, and I really liked it. It's very faux Japanese, but, you know, the developers are, it's very Japanese inspired because both developers are Western. And this has promise. Like I said, there is a Harvest Moon on PC, but there is no Animal Crossing, and there is no Pokemon either. So people who want to do all the checks of those kind of games and want to play it on PC, this is your game.
I look at the screenshots for this game, and I think, man, these people must love Katamari Damacy.
That
too. Yeah.
But it's not.
it has that like weird like.
It does.
It has that weird.
What, you expect this huge ball to come over and pick them all up?
Yep. Now I do. I can't unsee it.
I just like. I expect a giant Galactus-sized King of Cosmos with his package just hanging out. Just like to tell his little subordinate prince to go collect things and then degrade him when he fails. Or when he succeeds.
Your giant role is not big enough. You suck, son. Go back.
Unless you play We Love Katamari, and then they just give you too much time, and you have to spend, just waiting for the level to end. It's like, is there anything else I can pick up? Because I picked up all the continents already.
But yeah, I think at the end credits of one of the games, you could pick up the continents. You're rolling around the earth,
you
picking
can pick up plants.
Up.
I mean, it gets. You can pick up planets. You put them in. You put pick up galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's. I guess you're rolling around a black hole.
A sticky ball. Things just stick to it.
A really sticky ball, then.
Yeah. You're. Maybe who doesn't appreciate sticky balls?
It's actually called a Katamari. Yeah.
It's still a sticky ball.
I forgot what it means, but it actually has like a. What does Katamari mean?
Maybe
it's Katamari is just straight up Japanese for mass or lump or cluster.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Everything makes more sense.
Yeah, the king of all cosmos is a dick.
Yes.
But Ooblets looks fun. Ooblets looks like a little bit of Katamari charm, but like with Animal Crossing style.
By the way, they did re-release Katamari Damacy as Katamari Reroll, but the problem with that is it didn't have the bonus stages from We Love Katamari.
Yeah.
A shame. If they released, they should have released everything like they did with Spyro, and they did with Crash Bandicoot. You know, just release everything into one package.
Yeah.
Do you remember how dang mad everybody got about Ooblets when it was announced that it was going to be for one of the first Epic Game Store games?
They're still mad, and that's what I want. And I'm going to go into a rant right now. Grow the fuck up. Seriously.
Oh, good. It's a short rant. Good, good.
No, I mean, that means I'm going to pirate it. Fuck you. This is a two-man group. Or one-man, one-woman group, you know? And it's like, most human beings I know actually prefer having more than one storefront to shop at.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake to let Valve be the only place you buy your games.
And yet we already just talked about this weeks ago. You know, if you don't like having more than one storefront, then just get God Galaxy 2.0 and everything's under one banner now. I mean, you don't even have that excuse. Like, we have to open up a different storefront. No, well, guess what? I mean, if it was going to be more expensive at the Epic Game Store, I can understand why they might be a little peeved, but it's not.
Yeah, because, I mean, the idea that somehow it's splitting the fandom is ridiculous. These games, they don't need the launcher to communicate with each other. Like, I bought the first Trials in the Sky on GOG, and I bought the second one on Steam, and the second one was able to import the game data right into Steam, no problem. It didn't give
me. It's just a storefront, that's all.
Yeah, it's just a storefront. That's all it is.
They're like under 18, I'm pretty sure.
$5 says that millions of these people who are mad about Epic's Game Store and Ooblets being things like exclusives also picked up Grand Theft Auto 5 for free last week.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they did.
I mean, Epic Game Store is not the optimum experience. I actually like. I have. It's not my preferred way to go about buying games because for some reason I don't know if it's just me. But whenever I open up the Epic Game Store app on my PC, it feels like it slows everything down, and I sometimes like get locked up on screens trying to move forward.
The Epic browser does have some trouble, has a little bugs here and there. I think you have to reboot it every once in a while.
Oh, let's not forget how Steam used to be. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like even in the time since like the last time I've bought something on Epic Game Store was Project Phoenix Point.
That was a disappointment. But.
And the store has made marked improvements since then. Like,
Well, I have a press account on Epic, so it's like, I, you know, that's how I got Maneater, because I have a press account with them.
I mean, they have Fortnite money, so they are moving things along, and they're going to continue to keep moving things along.
But yeah, I mean, if you really have a problem with the storefront, then just get God Galaxy 2.0, and you have everything there. It even shows what Xbox games I have. You know, I can't play them from the browser, but I can see them.
Yeah. It is pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure it does the same thing with PlayStation and Switch for you, doesn't it?
Yes. It shows the PlayStation, shows Origin and Ubisoft games, and yeah, it, all of them. If you have purchased on these digital stores, it'll show you what you've purchased. And if it's on PC, then you can launch and play it. So you can't with the PlayStation, Xbox, but I don't know. Maybe it'll change.
It just shows you what you have anyway. I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, and here's the thing. Microsoft's been doing it too, because when I go into my Microsoft, when I go into the Windows 10 store, I see my Steam purchases there too. So it's sort of like everybody's starting to coalesce into one big Steam storefront, and I think the reason is that they realize, you know what? We sell a lot more if people aren't worried about where they're getting it from, because if they have one place to do it from, they're more likely to buy it from whomever they want to buy it from. It's as simple as that. I didn't even know I had Age of Empires Castle Siege on Xbox. See, that's what the GOG thing does for me. It shows me games I completely forgot about. I have no idea what Age of Empires Castle Siege is, but I apparently own it. Must have been a Games with Gold thing, and I just picked it up because it was there. Hey, here's a question for you, TJ. Did you play The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit? Because I never finished that.
No, I didn't.
Okay. For those who don't know, that was the lead into Life is Strange 2.
I missed the boat on Life is Strange.
So did I. I only played the first episode.
By the time that it like really caught my attention, I really felt like I was like too far behind to make the time to catch up.
Like, I don't think that's true. You can always play it.
I'm super duper always busy. Like, I'm still trying to get through Final Fantasy VII Remake. And, it was one of those things where, like, by the time I took real notice of it, they were already about, I think they were in episode 3 or 4, and I really try hard to manage what I'm going to be playing in my free time because I have so little of it to do that. So right. It's definitely one of those things where like I see it in the periphery and I respect it for what it is, but I just don't know that I'll ever get there.
I think it's one of those games I'll probably play like 10 years from now. I mean, the graphics are going to still hold up. I mean, they're pretty good graphics. I mean, probably have a remaster, make it look like photorealistic by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that reminds me. Did you see the new graphics trailer that Microsoft put out? Sort of like in response to the Epic, Epic showing off Unreal 4. Was it 4.0 or 5.0?
Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah, so they're showing off Unreal Engine on 5, and Microsoft reminded people, you know, it's not only going to work on the PlayStation 5. You know? It's not like it's what's it called? It's just for one system.
Yeah.
It showed up some incredible graphics in that trailer too.
It was kind of interesting that that Epic took like the time to say this is on a PlayStation 5, and I just like I don't.
Here's
and then
the
like
why.
And then later on, like in like a small like subtext, it's like it's also going to be on PC and Xbox.
Here's the reason why. PlayStation 5 is already in trouble. And what they're trying to do is make people relax enough to buy a PlayStation 5 because the more platforms there are, the more money they make. Here's the thing. There's the rumor. I don't know if we discussed it on this podcast. I know we discussed it during the Maneater thing, that there are rumors that Microsoft's going to sell the Xbox Series X for $400. That would kneecap the PlayStation 5 so bad, because here's the thing. It doesn't matter how powerful something is. You sell it cheaper, people will buy the cheaper option.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that Microsoft there is some credence to this is that they're making so much money from Game Pass. They're making so much money from people renting out the xCloud. They're making so much money from everything else. They can decide, they can look at the numbers and say, you know what? We'll take a $1 billion loss on the Xbox Series X just to get enough of those consoles out. Here's the thing. They did it before. I don't know if you've heard this story, but Cliff Bleszinski related it. When the Xbox 360 was first being planned, Cliff and Epic went up to Microsoft and said, listen, if you upgrade the DRAM on the Xbox 360, we'll be able to run Gears of War on it.
Uh-huh.
And Microsoft said, okay. And that cost them $1 billion. But when they showed off Gears of War at E3, people just went nuts watching it. I remember seeing it. It's like everybody was just... And those that Epic was at their height, not in terms of money, but in terms of fandom. Because, you know, Epic may be making more money now, but they don't have as many fans as they used to. And people just went berserk over it. So the money that Microsoft spent, the $1 billion, to make sure the Xbox 360 was more powerful, bore fruit in the long run, you know. So I would not be surprised if Microsoft decided to pull a Sony. Remember how Sony kneecapped the Dreamcast? They just came out and said $300 and walked out. Was it, or did they say $299? Do you remember, TJ? That E3 announcement when they just went, they came out, said the price of the PlayStation 2, and then just walked. It's like, yep, that's a mic drop.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
I have to look it up. E3. $300 or something like that. Yeah, so, yeah, it was called The Price Heard Around the World. He just walked up and said $299, then walked off the stage, and that was it. That was not at E3. That was at the PlayStation New press conference. So, yeah. I mean, when you're able to sell for $100 less than your competitor, that is going to... Oh, it was at E3, 1995. That's right. Yeah. I wasn't there. I wasn't actively in the console space. I was still reviewing for PC games, but even that, and it wasn't for the Dreamcast. It was for the Sega Saturn that was destroyed. And it was the PlayStation 1, not the PlayStation 2. So I got all the facts wrong. So yeah, I mean, the point is that if it's going to be for $400, we've already know that. Hardware estimates for the PlayStation 5 say it's probably going to be somewhere between $500 and $550. And they said for the Xbox Series X, it would be somewhere between $500 and $600. If Microsoft's able to cut $100 from that, I don't know. Especially since Microsoft's been on the soft sell with their... what is it called?
Smart delivery.
Smart delivery, right. With that, Microsoft's saying, you know, the Xbox Series X is here, but you don't have to buy it right away. Just buy this game. When you buy it, we'll have the Xbox Series X version for you ready when you want it. You know, so they're being very soft sell because of Game Pass. I have Game Pass Ultimate, and it's like I'm having the Humble Bundle problem. You know, in which you buy a game pack, but you can't play all the games. It's like there are so many games I can't play them all. Damn it. I have to pick and choose. There are games from Humble Bundle Packs which I have not played yet. They're on my Steam thing. It says, never been played. And it makes me feel guilty. Or purchased in 2013. Something like that. Don't you feel guilty when you have a game that you've never played on your Steam list? It's like...
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, I haven't played you. You're just sitting there alone. And you can just picture the game saying, why hasn't he played me yet?
He hasn't finished. He hasn't gotten to the end.
It's so sad when you have games and you already put in the code so you can't give it to anybody else. Anyways, that's the question of the week. What game do you own that you haven't played a single minute of yet?
I have to open my Steam library for this because I'm sure that there's at least two in there.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that I got the Alien Breed games for review, but I never got around to reviewing them, so I've never played them. And I know Alien Breed is supposed to be a very good game. What year was Alien Breed released in? I gotta check this.
Oh, you know what?
2010, Jesus Christ.
You know what the biggest one in my library is?
What?
Evil Genius.
Oh, I haven't played that either. And for those who don't know, that's basically Dungeon Keeper, but with a supervillain. A Bond supervillain.
What was it?
But Alien Breed 2 Assault, I got it in 2010, and I haven't played a single minute of it.
Rebellion launched. Rebellion is getting ready to launch Evil Genius 2 sometime in this summer, I think. And so they put up Evil Genius 1 for free. And so I've always loved the idea of this game, and I just never got around to playing it. And so I downloaded it, and I just haven't even touched it.
That reminds me. Oh yeah. Sniper Elite 4 has been on Game Pass, so I decided I was going to play it out a bit more. Played it, you know, I might as well play a little bit more of it. But yeah, how about you, TJ? I mean, Scott.
There's quite a few games on my list. There's
just
a nice
pick
little
one that you most regret.
Most regrets. I'm trying to think. I guess, Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind.
Really? Played Morrowind?
No, I haven't played it. I've heard about it. I've heard people tell me how great it is, and I got it on there, and I think I was thinking I was going to wait for the mod that it combines it with the Skyrim thing.
That removes cliff racers.
Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure
not,
I heard the memes about the cliff racers.
Are those big giant things that are
birds
walking
that constantly attack you out of nowhere?
No, I haven't heard those. No,
really. I want you to do me a favor and Google "I hate cliff racers." And the funny thing is, I never really got far in Morrowind because I never had a system that could run it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I always enjoyed going into the Dwemer ruins. Here's the thing. One thing about Morrowind is that you can kill everybody.
Yes, I've heard that.
But if you do, you lock yourself off from the and you'll die because you've removed the ability to deal with the end game.
And I have a friend who's like absolutely insistent on being allowed the freedom to create ghost towns by just killing everyone.
Yeah, you do that, like, you have to pay for it later in the game. Unless you just want... Yeah, I have all the fears, too. I've only played the first one.
So these cliff racers look like the dragons in Skyrim. That's
no,
basically what
they look like pterodactyls.
They act like it. They're attacking you out of nowhere, just like the dragons. You'll be walking along, and suddenly a dragon just crashes down, and now you're in a, you know, life or death dragon fight.
No, because here's the thing. They're harder to kill. Because they'll come at you from above, and it's hard to block them, and, you know, it's like they're just there to say, hi, I'm a cliff racer. I just want to take an informal poll. Which eye would you say is the one you least need? I swear, one of the first mods that was ever made removed them from the game. They're extremely aggressive. They'll attack everyone on sight, especially if you're fighting someone else and all of a sudden you're, and it's, oh, crap. And here's the thing. They will attack more than one. More than one of them will attack you.
Yes, I see a flock of cliff racers. It says, welcome to Morrowind, and there's just a flock, a huge, giant flock of them flying.
I just want to say, just Google, I hate cliff racers.
I did, and that's what I got.
Yeah. And you'll see line after line after line after line of people complaining about Cliff Racers, even to this day.
Yeah, there's a whole thing on Reddit why I hate these things.
Yeah, well, like I said, the first mod that was ever made for the game, I believe, was the one that took them out of the game.
Okay.
But other than that, you know, here's the thing that Morrowind has that Oblivion and Skyrim don't have. It has personality. When you play Morrowind, you will feel more in touch with the game than you do with Oblivion and Skyrim. I'm going to tell you this right now. Because when I played Oblivion, I liked it, but it felt like it was a cartoon in comparison to Morrowind. Especially the music. The music for Morrowind is very subdued and darker and, you know, but not darker in terms of, you know, evil. I mean just darker in terms of just the game has a weight to it. You know, I think it's because it wasn't made with a damn Gamebryo engine or whatever engine is they use for all for Fallout 3 and Oblivion and everything. They've used the same damn engine for all their games.
Uh-huh.
This does not use that engine. The only problem I have with it is very brown. And God help you if you go into Vivek. It's a boring place to be, not because it's boring, but because it's just a chore to get everywhere in that damn town. It is. But, you know, the first time you see a Cliff Strider, you know, don't Google that. I want you to see it for yourself. But on the positive side, when I first played Morrowind, it ate resources. You had to have a beefy machine to play it. Now, obviously, it's a lot easier because Morrowind came out when? 2003, I think it was? I know Daggerfall came in 1998 or 1999, so I think it's 2002. I'm going to say Morrowind came out in 2002. I got to see. Morrowind release date.
Uh-huh.
2002, right. Because I was still writing for GamePad at the time. And I actually... here's the thing about that. Not amusing, but not so amusing. When I reviewed the PC version, and I said that it was, you know... My computer was barely able to handle it. I got a message directly from, I forgot his name. Pete Hines. I got a message from Pete Hines complaining about me saying that. I said, listen, dude, I have a good machine, and this game is just, it's what's it called? It's slow running on it, you know, and I have a good machine. That's how I was introduced to Pete Hines. I still gave Morrowind a positive review, damn it. I gave it 4 out of 4. But he picked on this one thing, like, you need a beefy machine to play it. Oh, whatever. Right, this is when actually the publisher bigwigs actually contacted. Although, this is before they were purchased by ZeniMax, I think. No, actually, wait. When did ZeniMax acquire Bethesda? it was acquired in 1999. So, yeah, Bethesda was already owned by ZeniMax. But still, you know, it's kind of interesting to have Pete Hines contact me about it. Personally, that is. Not just, you know. But, like I said, I gave it a positive review, and the site also raved about the Xbox version. Uh-huh. Which is really stripped down but playable. I was surprised. I was shocked they were able to get it to run on an Xbox. So wait, you never said which was the game, Scott?
I told you, the Elder Scrolls Morrowind 3.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's how we got into this whole entire tangent.
Yeah. And by the way, when I say it was on the Xbox, I mean the original Xbox.
Right. And I think I remember that. Wasn't there, or was that Oblivion? Which one had...
It was on the Xbox 360. And the 360 version of Oblivion was a system seller. Because I don't remember. I remember that the PlayStation could not handle it, or it was really buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And the PlayStation 2 flat out could not play Morrowind. So, But yeah, and what the interesting thing is the original Xbox version got all the DLC too. And I'm pretty sure that the version of Morrowind you have probably includes Tribunal and Blood Moon. It's the Game of the Year edition, right?
I think so. I mean,
yeah. So the Game of the Year edition includes Tribunal and Blood Moon. Enjoy the Blood Moon expansion in which you're able to turn into a werewolf.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. There are some problems with being a werewolf in the game, but you know we're not going to do a Morrowind review right now. Let me just say, when you play Morrowind, expect an entirely different feel from the other Elder Scrolls games that came after. And you'll see why people love it. You may not love it yourself, but you see why people love it, because it is such an earthy game, and everything has weight. And when you play Skyrim and Oblivion, fighting is sort of like a loosey-goosey thing, you know. In Morrowind, it is not. You have to really plan out your fighting. As a matter of fact, it makes me want to download and install Morrowind now just to play it again. I mean, it is so different from the later versions of Elder Scrolls. It's not, but it's still there. I mean, when you play the theme music, you can basically see, oh, I see. This is the bass music that Oblivion got its theme from, which is the bass music from which Skyrim got its music from. Because Morrowind is very slow. Dum, dum, dum. Do-do-do. And then it's like Oblivion makes it into this orchestral thing. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then Skyrim just goes with thousands of people chanting the theme. So when you play Morrowind, you'll be able to hear the Skyrim theme in it.
Oh, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, actually Daggerfall had sort of a version of the theme, but not really. It was... Morrowind was sort of like a serious version of its theme, so... Yeah. Did you ever play Daggerfall?
No, I have not.
Okay, it gives you the idea of freedom, but it's just a lot of cut-and-pasted stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
Daggerfall
like...
was a lot of... That was a roguelike, because a lot of the dungeons were randomly
generated.
There
were two rooms, most of them.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that at least Daggerfall had all of Tamriel in it. I was like, I'm hoping that the reason why they're taking a long time on 6 is that they're going to redo Daggerfall and have the entirety of Tamriel visitable.
I guess, you have the MMO if you want to play the entirety of Tamriel.
Who wants to play with other people? Not me. Why the hell would I want to play with other people? This is the reason why I love and hate Sea of Thieves. I want to play Sea of Thieves, but I don't want other people playing with me, unless they're co-oping.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we've spent a lot of time on on Morrowind. Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, link with the history news and our gaming history articles. We urge your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some iTunes comments. You can find me at Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shard.
Yep. And I know what game you're going to be seeing from us. What game we're going to be seeing from us on Thursday. And like I said, the fact that that TJ doesn't seem to have ever heard of it. Makes it that much more fun to show them for the first time. And TJ, do me a favor. No videos, no screenshots, nothing. You gotta jump in with both feet first.
I'll go blind. Yeah.
Yep. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.